Welcome to Big Blue Pickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk. He's Jeff Fiegels. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513 or hashtag GiantsChat on Twitter. If you want to get in touch with us that way, Giants getting ready for the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. And, Jeff, they'll be starting a player other than Eli Manning at quarterback for the first time since November 14th, 2004.
I was there.
You were there for that. That was Kurt Warner's final start against the Arizona Cardinals, a team he would eventually land at. And as a former teammate of Eli, give me your spiel. What do you got?
Well, I mean, listen, I've been around Eli a long time, and I don't think that I'm going to tell you anything that you don't know, you, John, or anybody that's listening. Just, you know, the character and everything of Eli Manning, what he's meant to the organization. You know, the guy has so much class, and he's just, you know, a guy that will sit up there and answer all the questions. You know, from experience, there's a lot of people that will not do that. One thing I did not know, and I should have known this, John, is that Eli on Mondays on a loss will take the press, but on a win he lets everybody else talk. I did not know that. Were you aware of that?
I honestly was not aware of that either.
So I read about that, and that just even exemplifies more of Eli Manning about, you know, I don't need to get up there and talk when we win, but I'll talk when we lose games and things like that. But, you know, what I'm upset about, and I'll tell you, it's just maybe just the way that all went down. That's really, to me, I get the whole about evaluation and this roster. Believe me, if Eli Manning is the only reason they're 2-9, then I'm going to get up and walk out the door. There's a lot of other problems that there has to be evaluated. So I understand that part of it. And it's the truth, because this team and this roster does have to be evaluated. When you're 2-9 on any team, you have to start looking at your roster saying what's going on. You look at a 37-year-old quarterback, there is some time where you have to start to think about moving into the future. I think that in hindsight, knowing that it happened a few days ago and now the dust has settled a little bit, we're getting a little bit more information on perhaps how things had gone on. I think that collectively, everybody at this point would say that if it was just handled a little bit more differently, things would be a little bit different. But for me, for Eli, I mean, I've known him a long time. You know, working for the Giants after I retired and playing, he's my teammate for 6 years. And listen, all I can do is say thank you. I mean, because he got me a Super Bowl ring, Schmelk. And it was just, it's a great thing. But, you know, moving forward, this is very fluid. There's nothing to sit here and go upon. We know that Geno Smith is starting this week. We don't know who's going to be starting next week. We don't know if Eli's going to have to come in the game or any of that stuff. But the fact is, my opinion on this, there's a lot of things I don't want to say because I can't. But I do believe that you know, if things would have just been handled in a different way, it would just been a little bit easier to take, in my opinion.
And I just want to stress, too, that I think a lot of people assume that this means Eli Manning's Giants career is over. John Mara has said that's not the case. Ben McAdoo has said that's not the case. Of course, I think, you know, John Mara saying that, I think, is probably the strongest endorsement.
Sure, you know, it should be.
And I happen to agree with that. I don't think this necessarily means that he's never going to start another game for the New York Giants. Like you said, I think it's fluid. I think a lot can change between now and when that decision is going to have to be made. So I would not, you know, start saying your goodbyes yet, because I don't think it necessarily means that he will be gone at any point. I think that's a very fluid situation. And I think it's understandable why fans are upset. They're emotionally attached to Eli Manning, and understandably so. He's been the only Giants quarterback they've known for 14 seasons. It's a long time. Obviously, the 210 consecutive start streak, unbelievable. And I think, to me, the class of Eli Manning through all this, the way he handled it, stood up at his locker, fighting back tears, was very honest. And the next morning, he was in here trying to help Davis Webb.
Yeah,
and, you know, he had a chance to continue his streak, but he said, you know what, if it's not real, I don't want to continue the streak. And I think that speaks to what's important to him as well. And I think when people – it's reflective of his greater personality, Jeff, where when you talk about Eli Manning, one of his criticisms against him are the interceptions and the turnovers, and maybe in his earlier iteration when he was here with Kevin Gilbride, his completion percentage never was where, you know, Tom Brady's was or Drew Brees or even, you know, some of the other guys that play in different systems. But Eli Manning was somebody that never cared about stats.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to improve on stats, but he didn't really care about them.
No. Like
his percentage completion. He would tell you, I want to improve. That's because that will make me more successful.
But he wouldn't care if he threw three incompletions instead of sliding down or taking a sack at the end of the game, if those three incompletions meant he took a shot and it would have helped the team win.
Right.
While other quarterbacks are making decisions based on quarterback rating or things like that, Eli did not care about those sort of things. The same way in the end, unless it meant helping the team win and it was meaningful, he didn't really care much about the consecutive streak record. So I think that just speaks to the type of person he was and the way he approached the game and the way he played quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the approach and the way – his approach is second to none. The way he prepares, and he's going to prepare. I promise you Eli Manning will be prepared for this game just like if he was going to be started. That's just the way he does. That's just the way he does it. And, you know, him, Davis Webb, you should thank Eli Manning all you can because you got a chance to experience how a quarterback prepares for a season in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, things like that. And be happy that you were able to sit in those meeting rooms with him to understand this is what a pro's pro, as we say, how he gets you ready for a game.
And I think Davis Webb handled this beautifully, too. And frankly, Geno Smith was fine with the media as well. But I thought, you know, Davis Webb called him the best teammate he's ever had multiple times. And I think Eli and him have grown pretty close. And Eli has really helped him, I think, come along as a quarterback and taught him a lot. And we will see Davis Webb down the road when I think is interesting. Ben McAdoo said again in his press conference today that he has not started taking additional reps yet. Mm. So, to me...
that he's not playing.
Are you going to get him ready for Dallas even in just 1 week?
That's tough.
Is he going to play maybe half versus Dallas? I don't know. And then, do you want to play him against Philadelphia in his first game with that pass rush? You're going to get the Paul kid murdered.
Evaluation that way.
Exactly. I mean, so are you looking at Arizona then maybe as his first opportunity? I think it's interesting to see when he's going to get his opportunity to show the team what he can do.
Well, that's very interesting to me because when this all came about, I was trying to think of the progression, if you will, on the evaluation. Okay, so we know Davis Webb, and for those that don't know this, when you're a scout team quarterback, you run no first or second team reps with the offense. You are running all of the scout team stuff. So on paper, you know the offense, but on the field, you really don't get to run it.
And by the way, he didn't run the offense with the regulars in training camp either. He was off to the side with a bunch of young guys.
So I'm thinking, okay, Geno is the guy for the week, and then, you know, if you got 2 weeks of Davis Webb on the field with the Giants offense, running it, getting a little more familiar with it, then maybe in 2 weeks that would be a time to do it. But when you're now, what you had said is that he's not taking any first team reps. That pretty much shoots down my theory. But you're right. When at a time are you going to have him appear in a game when he hasn't taken any first team reps in practice? Now, I'm not out of practice. I know a lot of the media, it's closed to a certain point. And unless we have information from the coaches and things like I don't. But, you know, maybe he is getting some reps. I have no idea.
Ben McAdoo was asked that today. He said Davis Webb's reps have not changed, which means him and Eli Manning, which is just saying Eli Manning's taking scout team reps is just, like, crazy to me. But he is. And
did you just say that?
Exactly.
are you crazy?
I'm not criticizing anyone for it.
No,
I'm
I
just
know.
Saying
just
to think that Eli Manning taking scout team reps is just, wow, who would have thought those words would ever come out of my mouth. But, at what point, and I get maybe this week, in order to get Geno Smith ready for the game, you want to give him every rep because he hasn't gotten a ton of reps either so far this year, so I understand it. But how they, again, handle that progression I think is interesting.
Yeah, well, it is because, you know, Geno has taken second-team reps with really, when you look at the personnel that's been on the field, it's about second-team guys anyway.
Well, I think that's interesting, too. I think all the receivers he's throwing to are guys he threw to a lot in the spring because that's who he was working with,
right.
The Roger Lewis's, the Tavares Kings.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
Some of these guys, obviously the newer guys, haven't been here at all. But and I think that's the other thing here, too, Jeff. And I agree, you know, Giants owner John Mara said this the other day. He goes, I'm not sure how much we're going to be able to learn from evaluating these guys, but something's better than nothing. And that is true. Something is better than nothing. But to address the first point that he made, the first part of his point, with the offensive line as banged up it's going to be, and Justin Pugh's doubtful for Sunday, by the way. I'll go through the full injury report in a second. So you're going to have basically two starters out there.
So this would be the ninth different.
Eric Flowers at left tackle, Jerry at left guard, Brett Jones at center. Then you're going to have, we'll see if John Greco is ready to go this week or not. Who knows? It's either going to be him or John Jalapio, and then Chad Wheeler. And throw that in with the fact, and we discussed it already, the wide receiver corps is banged up as it is. The only Sterling Shepard hopefully makes his return. He's not on the Giants injury report this week.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good sign. So he'll be there. But you know, the quarterbacks are still in a very difficult position here in terms of what's around them because of all the injuries this team has sustained. So I think it's going to be tough to get a real true feel for exactly how well they can do based on the people around them because of all those injuries.
Well, one thing you're going to probably understand, we already know that Geno Smith is a little bit more mobile than Eli. And with that offensive line that you just mentioned,
still
he might
a pocket
have to
passer, though. He's not a guy that he's not RG3.
Exactly. And I didn't mean to go like he's a guy that's going to be, you know, running the Wildcat everywhere. But I think that, you know, he is a little bit mobile.
Sure, yes.
And he's going to, mm-hmm. that will help him with what we saw against Washington last week. You know, I mean, Eli couldn't get out of the pocket and just, you know, was getting sacked everywhere. At least Geno will get out of the pocket a little bit and maybe make some plays, and that's, you know, that'll be good.
Try to run from Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack this week.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you think about 3 weeks in a row, the defense that these guys have been going up, especially the rushers. I mean, 3 weeks in a row. Khalil Mack, oh, my God.
Only 6.5 sacks, believe it or not, but I think that's probably because he's been getting a lot of attention. And not to mention the fact that, and I think that opened things up for guys like Bruce Irvin. All right, real quickly, Jeff, the injury report, I want to get to that before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. I have it here somewhere, if I can find it. Here it is. Jonathan Casillas has been ruled out with a neck and a wrist, which means another Giants linebacker is banged up. Justin Pugh is doubtful with his back injury. Damon Harrison is questionable with the elbow, and I guess that means B.J. Goodson's going to be good to go if he's not on the injury report,
I
would think. He was limited in practice with his ankle. Calvin Munson was full, so was Sterling Shepard. Damon Harrison did not practice, so we'll see how that gets adjusted tomorrow.
Well, Calvin Munson is coming back, so there you go. So that's another linebacker.
So they have some health. They have some healthy linebackers, at least. There'll be no Keenan Robinson, obviously, who's on IR, and then you have Jonathan Casillas. So.
And a couple new guys.
Absolutely. Ready for phone calls, Jeff?
Let's go, man. Let's get our calls in.
Here we go. 201-939-4513. Let's do it. First man up, Bob in Pennsylvania. Hi, Bob.
What's
How
up,
are
Bob?
You, buddy? What's going on?
Hey. Hi, John. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Okay. I think I'm calm today.
You sound like it.
After outrage and then more outrage after Mara spoke, something came to me, a calming effect came over me when something occurred to me. Would you like to know what that is?
Sure.
You wouldn't want to leave us hanging on that.
Mara will have no choice but to give Eli the $5 million roster bonus, and he will be on the roster. They could trade him, but they cannot outright release him because Peyton won the Super Bowl, and he couldn't throw the ball. You have Drew Brees. If you've noticed Drew Brees this year, New Orleans is 8-3, and he can't throw the ball downfield. But just because of what all is in Drew Brees' head, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Well, Bob, I will disagree that Drew Brees can't throw the ball anymore. The fact of the matter is they have two really good running backs, and they're taking advantage of those guys' abilities.
Yeah. John.
I know where he's going at this,
I've watched him. He can't hang it out there deep anymore. All right. I'll not argue that with you. But the thing is that from what I've seen, Eli, there's nothing off his fastball. He could still throw the ball. And I stated yesterday, I do want him to be my quarterback next year if it could work out. But here's two scenarios where I'll just give you if Mara thinks about it. Let's say you outright release him. Now he has the choice to go wherever he wants. And maybe he'll go to the Redskins and win a Super Bowl next year. And then here's even something worse. How about he goes and says, I don't want to uproot my family. I'm going to stay right here. I like this stadium. What if the Jets sneak in the playoffs at 9-7 and Eli goes on a run? Just like the Giants were 7-7 and Eli went on a run in 2011. How would that sit with another Lombardi trophy?
Bob, I'm not sure, at this sense it makes sense to kind of guess where Eli Manning might be next year. Like I said, I think there's a real chance he's the starting quarterback for the Giants next season. I think it's very possible. So I don't think it makes a lot of sense for here to kind of go through those hypotheticals. And I don't think John Mara will ultimately make whatever decision he makes based on where Eli Manning might end up. I think he has enough respect for Eli.
I disagree with that. You could trade him if you want to get a young. If you, let's say you.
Yeah,
get
but Bob, he's.
All,
they're only going
to
trade.
When do these players have to declare, John, when they're coming out?
Bob, first of all, they're only going to end. They're not going to force Eli Manning to go to a team that he doesn't want to go to. They have too much respect for him for that.
Plus, he has a no trade clause.
And he has a no trade clause, Bob.
Give him the option of picking a team. He could pick the Jets.
Well, but no, Bob, he can pick a team. He has a no trade clause. He can go wherever he wants. Period.
Oh, no, no. What I'm saying is if he doesn't want to be traded to that team, then he's agreeing to be the quarterback of the Giants next year.
Or he's agreeing that he doesn't want to be the quarterback of the Giants next year and they release him.
If he doesn't want to be the quarterback of the Giants, then he's going to be on the roster unless you release him. That's what I don't want to do is outright release him where he's controlling where he's going, and he could come back and bite you in the butt big time. Imagine if the Jets won a Super Bowl.
Bob, I'm not talking about Eli Manning. Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. I'm not going to sit here talking about Eli Manning on the Jets, okay? That's not worth the time.
Well, all the hypotheticals.
I know.
He's got the Redskins going to the Super Bowl next year. I mean, who knows? It's hard to talk about hypotheticals. It really is very difficult because we don't understand the landscape of what's going to happen here.
But Jeff made a great point, though. Eli Manning has a no-trade clause, all right? So he can basically dictate where he winds up next year. If it's either going to be here or it's going to be where he wants to be. It's not going to be someplace he doesn't want to go.
And if it's somewhere he wants to go and he wants to do the organization a favor by saying, you know, yeah, you can trade me here, and then what are they willing to give you back for me? Then, you know, then that's most likely what – you know, Eli's such a good guy, he'll probably end up doing something like that. But
and,
you know what?
Yeah.
I think a lot of this is going to depend on the next 5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The other thing is that where the record at the end of the season and where your draft order is, okay, that's going to make a big difference. And then at the end of the year, before free agency starts, all of this will be discussed and things will be put in place. And then they'll go from there.
And Bob asked at the end there what the deadline is for players to declare. I don't know the exact date, Jeff. I mean, I guess they have to do it at some point in January, I guess, college players to declare for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I know that. I only know that because the running back, Walton, for Miami just declared he is going into the draft. So evidently started.
You can do it at any time, but is there a deadline to declare? Let me look that up.
I got to think it's before that, John. I got to think it's before that. Because you know what, to me,
remember bowl games now go to the second week of January almost sometimes now with the
okay then
day,
then there's
know?
No way then yeah
Let
because what if there's guys that are playing on the on a January 1 bowl team then I can declare they're going to
January 16th is the deadline to declare. There you go, January 16th. Bob.
Okay, so yeah, it's good. That's a good number. I mean, it's a good date.
I forgot
all the bowl games
you,
are done.
Did you handle the Miami thing last week? Okay,
fine. You know, it's hard. It's hard to play every game when you're 18 to 22 year old kids and getting them up. But the bottom line for Miami, and I know you guys don't want to touch much about it, but the fact is that they win tomorrow, then they're in. They win the
That's
ACC
true.
And they're in
against Clemson.
So
it's a tough game.
And to be honest with you, John, I would rather them. It would have been an easier solution to going forward if they had won the game, because then, you know, if they lost to Clemson this weekend, there would have still been a chance maybe that they get
sure.
in with one loss.
Absolutely.
But the fact is that team has won 15 games in a row.
Right.
You get that one loss, and it's a bad taste in your mouth, and you go back to work, and you kind of get humbled a little bit to play a Clemson team, which they're going to have to play a perfect game to beat mm-hmm. these guys. They're good. They're
By
also
way,
young.
I should point out my wife got very upset I had the game on, and the announcer said a couple – I'm not going to say derogatory, but they were critical of a couple of your son's punts.
Of course they were.
And she got very upset.
And let me tell you something. It was Bob Matusis, is that his
mm-hmm.
name? And Brock Heward. They were horrible against the U. They were so biased. It was unbelievable to me. And listen, when your son has a 13-yard punt, you get on the guy for that.
Of course.
But when he says another bad kick and it's 39 yards net, come on. Seriously? I just have no tolerance for that. So, anyways.
I wanted to give you a chance to give your piece on that. See what I
Thank
did there,
you.
Jeff? You're welcome.
Yeah.
Let's go
and Brock was my teammate in Seattle.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
what
that.
What the heck?
Did you text him?
Did you play with Brock Heward? Yes. Put that down.
How about Damon Heward?
Damon Heward.
Did you play
he
with
was,
Damon Heward?
No, I did not.
Let's go to John in Connecticut. He's up next.
What's
Hi,
up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Thank you, thank you. It's been a little while. I'm glad I'm calling today versus yesterday, the other day, and the dust has settled. And
you and me both.
I've gone through my stages of grief, and I'm almost at a point of acceptance now.
No, no. Don't do that.
Hey, by the way, John, remember this too, and I'll say this to everybody also. You know, Geno Smith hasn't exactly been the luckiest quarterback in the world.
No.
Every time he gets an opportunity, he tends to get hurt. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Eli Manning is going to be the number two quarterback on Sunday. So Khalil Mack is on the field. So there is a chance that at some point you could see Eli during that game. So that's what I'm just telling fans.
He hasn't played all
year. And I think Jeff made a great point at the start of the show.
I think that's
everything's
the grimmest
fluid.
Thing I've heard regarding the situation this week.
Yeah, but it's true.
No joke. I wouldn't want anyone to get hurt, but
no, obviously not.
Just to see Eli Manning back. What I want to bring up is, I agree. I've listened to your show, everybody's show regarding this, and it is this. I understand the player evaluation. I think we all agree, as Jeff said, the way it was handled. And I just want to bring this hypothetical scenario to mind. Let's just say we're at this point where we're 2-9, but instead of playing the Oakland Raiders, we were playing the New England Patriots. Do you think for a minute that Eli wouldn't be starting just as what he's meant in a, even though it wouldn't be as important season-wise, just as important as he is to the franchise, that type of meaning to the game? So I know it's kind of out there, but there's no way we wouldn't start him for that kind of game.
Yeah, John, you know what? I'm not sure that's right. The way Ben McAdoo's talked about it this
they're
week, he said, I want to take emotion out of it, and that would be an emotional decision. So, honestly, I think regardless of who the Giants were playing this week, I think this was a decision that Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese would have made.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's fine if you feel that way, and the fact is,
and I could be wrong.
All business, all football personnel decision creates an emotional reaction that Eli didn't want to have, that fans didn't want to have.
Of course.
And therefore, it's wrong. And therefore, it's wrong, right? I would rather it had been snuck up on Eli and be like, just don't tell him. It's like, all right, second half, you're getting blown out by this team, that team. Let's put Geno in. That's my feeling, but you know what? Maybe by doing this, there is actually one silver lining. The fact is, we open up the scenario of saying, "Hey, is he more receptive to being on the trade market for next year?" It really does segue into what our future needs to be, which brings me to my next thing is
sure.
The draft. Which, and I think we all. By getting the punch in the gut, you know, of fans and Eli and everybody alike, we're kind of saying, okay, how are we segueing to the draft? I don't think anyone thought we'd have a chance to have, a Sam Darnold or, at the draft. And we're at this point where, personally, if we had Eli next week and next year, and don't get me wrong, I like Davis Webb. We took a high round pick with him. We don't know what he's capable of, but. We're kind of like in this quarterback conundrum, I see, because we take what I see is the way, Peyton moved on to an Andrew Luck, the Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre. We're at this point where we can segue to a what should be an elite quarterback of the future. But we have so many – we have to – Geno, I evaluate as a backup option.
He's a free agent anyways, so just remember that. He's a free agent after this season.
No, which I totally understand, and I get that they're going to go through progression, start with number two, then look at Davis Webb later. That makes sense to me. I get that. But we're at this point where, Davis, are we going to stay high on Davis? Are we going to look at him in the future? Are we going to keep Eli? Is that going to make
sense?
See,
John,
we need to spend an offensive line, or is he better off mentoring what could be an elite quarterback in the future? And I think we've been put in a precarious position by drafting Webb when we are going to have this topic. Not that I don't like Webb and what he brings. I think his demeanor has been nothing short of purely professional for a rookie. I really mean that.
Agreed.
But we're really in a conundrum. We're going to have Eli in the books for next year. How do we really take
Well, John, here,
look at
John, honestly,
Webb and and who are you going to take at quarterback for the future?
Well, John, here's how I look at it. One, you can't have enough good quarterbacks on the roster, for one. So even if Davis – and I will say this first. Nothing Davis Webb does in however many games he plays at the end of the year is going to impact whether or not I decide to pick a quarterback in April, because it's a short-term thing.
With
it's
limited
a small
personnel.
Sample size. As we said before, limited personnel. So to me – whether I draft a quarterback in April is going to depend on one thing and one thing only.
Eli.
No, it's not even that. This is what's going to determine it for me. Do I, in my heart of hearts, believe that this guy, player X, that's available when I pick, is a legitimate franchise quarterback that I think can be what Eli Manning was for my team for the last 15 years? Is there a guy sitting there when I pick that can be that guy? If there is, I take him.
I think there's three guys that are there where we're sitting in the draft position right now.
Well, but John, here's the thing. There won't be. Yeah. Because there's no way you're getting three Eli Mannings in one draft more often than not. It's very rare that that happens. So
three possibilities.
Again, you have to – and John, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. You have to be able to figure out if your entire scouting department is sold on a player. And if they are, you move forward with it. And then you know what? If him and Davis Webb compete, great. If they compete and Eli Manning's the place so and so one of them is ready, is great. You have a lot of options, which to me is a good thing. But here's the trick. You're probably going to want to try to make a decision on Eli before you get to the draft. So
that's
gonna,
why I said Eli.
Right.
That's when you were going through that thing.
And you're right about that. Because you're going to have to decide whether or not you want a mentorship situation or if you want to throw into the deep end of the pool situation. And that decision you're going to have to make before you even get to the draft, which is why I don't like it in the NFL. I like it in other sports where you have the draft first and then you have free agency.
Let me throw out
I think
out
it
something.
Makes more sense.
Let me throw out something to you.
Yes.
This would be interesting. Let's just go down that road where you just identified it. One thing that we identified is now that Eli is back in 2018. You have Davis Webb, who's a third-round draft pick for a reason. Okay, remember that. Okay, and then they decide to go in the direction where they like, you know, a Rosen or a Darnold, whoever's available.
If they
there.
Even come out, who knows?
Yeah. Okay. So, but maybe in the third pick or fourth pick, whatever they get, they
whoever.
Decide.
Yeah, you pick a quarterback.
Now you are putting in jeopardy again the developmental of your third team quarterback again. So does Davis Webb go to two and now be the number two guy all during – I mean, we just talked about how the third guy never gets any reps at practice.
Well, I think you have to change the way you do practice. I think you have to make sure that third guy does get reps.
So the thinking comes into who is the one who's going to be your number one guy, okay? And then you go from there because I think
that
Davis Webb, if he's on the roster, he's going to be the number two guy. If Eli is gone, they're drafting probably somebody in the first round.
Well, and I think too, Jeff, it depends on whether or not and you want to do a rebuild. And are you trying to continue to be competitive while you make this transition? Or do you say, you know what, we're going to start over, we're going to tear this thing down, then build it back up? Or do you want to try to make it a smoother transition? These are all decisions that the Giants front office and ownership are going to have to make because there are different legitimate ways to handle this moving forward.
But I do believe that you have some sort of a foundation as far as a rebuild already here when you look at the defense and you look at who is here. Now, the offensive line is going to be a huge revamp, in my opinion. You have to. Look what happened this year.
Well, okay? You have no choice. I mean, two of your starters are free agents.
But you got your receivers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got Shepard and you've got Beckham coming back.
That's fine.
Okay, then you got a tight end.
You do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You've got what we think could be a very good running back. He's not an all-pro, but Darkwa, okay? You got Perkins, who you drafted a few years ago.
And Gallman, you drafted
and
this
Gallman.
Year.
I mean, that's exactly. So then you flip it to the defense. There is a nucleus there, okay? So, and when I look at a team like the Rams, who went from, I don't know what their record was last year, to where they are now, the National Football League can now rebuild a little bit quicker than you ever have in the past.
And that's why, then there's your argument for keeping Eli Manning around.
Thank you. So
and it's a good argument,
and it's a road that can split, and the road that we just went down is that scenario. The other one is with no Eli, and then where do you go? And that's what the caller was alluding to, that he thinks that there's one of those three quarterbacks. Who's the third one, by the way?
Baker Mayfield, I guess.
Wow, I don't know. I mean, I know he's a good college quarterback. I looked at his stats the other day.
Lamar
they
Jackson,
are ridiculous.
Maybe Josh Fields from Wyoming, if you
that's
like him.
That's the other Josh.
Josh Allen.
But there's two Joshes, Josh Rosen and Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yes, from Wyoming.
That's the third one, yeah. So, Lots to talk about at that point. And, of course, as always, Big Blue Kickoff will do an amazing job at the scouting the draft.
It just
seems like yesterday that we were lining up all of
it?
Our stuff.
And I'll tell you what, I haven't
started. And you do a good job at it.
And I haven't started yet, and I have access to all the college film this year, too. So that's going to be fun. But
which notebook are you going with this year? Remember, you had the big notebook. We had them on the show.
We have two. We have we got the Pro Football Focus on, which is always good, and then we get the Dane Brugler on, which
that's
is
the one.
And then,
yeah,
and Dane does a good job. He comes on the show.
Dane,
he's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
so,
exactly right.
And you know, those are all quarterbacks that some people like in different ways. Some people, you know, it'll
well,
be
you got to look at the system that you're going to
well,
be
of
in.
Of course.
Too.
And look. And here's the thing. My whole thing is this: I have no problem picking a franchise quarterback. Because the quarterback is the most valuable position in football. I can make the argument the most valuable position in all professional sports.
Close to it.
If you have a great quarterback, it can make up for a lot of other stuff.
And unfortunately.
Jeff, look at 2011. Eli Manning's unbelievable 2011 season made up for a lot of stuff that year.
There's no question. And also, you know, you look at the situation, and the caller had alluded to it. The Giants, in no shape or form, were sitting here at the beginning of the season thinking that they were going to get a top five pick.
And again, this is not saying we're.
I mean, come on.
And I just want to overemphasize this again, Jeff, that this is not saying that Eli Manning's not going to be back next year. You can have Eli Manning back and still draft a quarterback. You can do both.
Absolutely.
It's not one or the other. That's all I'm saying. 201-939-4513. Trent in New Jersey, he's up next. Hi, Trent.
Hi, Trent.
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
What's
How
up, Trent?
You doing, man?
What's up, Jeff? How you guys doing?
Doing well, buddy. What's up?
Doing all right.
Okay, I just want to explain something here.
Okay.
Why, the reason why Jerry Reese is still here is not because of draft picks, guys. Why is the reason Jerry Reese is still here? There's only one.
Don't go where I think you're going here, Trent.
There's only one reason Jerry Reese is still employed in this business today. Not because of draft picks. Because of Eli Manning.
Well, listen, he certainly...
At the end of the story, I mean, there's nothing else anybody else could say about it. Look, I know it's an outlook. I'm all for going for the future, guys. But don't tarnish this man's record. Oh, even if I'm winning the game at halftime, you're going to pull me, coach? Are you freaking kidding me right now? If I'm winning the game at 14-3, whatever the score is, you're going to pull me anyway?
And Trent, in fairness,
Smith?
And Trent, I think that's kind of the sentiments that John Mara – echoed when
that's
he spoke
what he,
two days
his
ago.
Understanding was
correct.
If you're winning the game, there's no reason to take him out of the game.
Right.
And that if the game is 3-14 or 3-17 the other way, and they haven't got a first down in the first half, then I think it's time for us to put the younger guys in there and get a look at them. That's the whole.
I understand all that, but to put all this on the quarterback's lap after the offensive line has been a disgrace, our three starting. Wide receivers are down. I mean, we're not talking about, like, three Jeremy Macklins, okay? We're talking about all-star receivers here. You know, guys, Evan Ingram dropped every single ball in the world last year. He would have dropped last week. He dropped everything.
Yeah, he had a rough
one. I mean, there's just nowhere else to go. I mean, what else can you do with no run game for 3 years? You gave this guy nothing, and now you're throwing it on his lap?
Well, Trent.
Everything he's done for this organization.
Well, Trent, you're going to see now what other quarterbacks look like under the same circumstances for the
Look,
next five games.
I've been a big Eli Manning fan my whole life. I went to training camp beginning of this year with my son, and I got really lucky and I found one of those bracelets. My son did, and I ended up meeting Eli Manning, and he shook my son's hand, and he signed his ball.
That's awesome.
And I was just stunned, and for this to happen now, like I met basically like one of the biggest idols of my life. Before I met Derek Jeter, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I got this man's autographed, like on a Super Bowl supposed year, and now he's on the bench. Am I that much of a curse?
Yeah, it was all you. It's definitely you, Trent.
You know, I was talking to my wife about it. It's sad. Like I really feel for the guy. I don't like the way it was done. It could have been – let him finish the five games, though, at least. He knew that if he got pulled at halftime, that record wouldn't mean anything anymore because it's a meaningless game. So what he did was smart by saying no. If you're going to – you know, if you're not going to play me the whole game, I'm not – you know, I'm done with the record.
Yep.
Because it would have been meaningless. Everybody knows that. He's too smart. They tried to outsmart him, but he outsmarted them, unfortunately. And now he's on the bench, taking scout team reps. I can't believe I even said that.
No, I know.
Thank you, Trent. Appreciate the call.
It's a tough situation for everybody to understand. And again, I said it before, a lot of fans and a lot of people that are not around the locker room, around the meetings and things like that, there's a lot of things that are discussed in those meetings that we never have an understanding of it. But the fact is that Ben McAdoo is the head coach. Jerry Reese is the general manager. They make decisions based on information that they're getting on and off the field in the classroom, things like that, and they go with it. And it's just it's their body of work that they have to, at the end of the season, be evaluated on. And this is a situation where they feel that this was the best thing for the organization in their minds. I know it's not a lot in everybody else's minds in that matter, but that's just the way it is. And unfortunately, we have to, we as fans, and I'm a fan, and we have to understand it and just kind of, muddle through it, if you will.
Chris in Syracuse, he's up next. Hi, Chris. How are you, buddy?
I've been better. How are you guys doing?
Good, Chris.
Same here.
Cheer us
up,
Chris. Cheer us up. Come on.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say a couple of things here. I'm a lifelong Giants fan. I've never missed a game that I can recall unless I was at work. This Sunday will mark the first time that I ever deliberately do not watch a Giants game. And I will not watch another one until these clown characters, Ben and Jerry, head back to Saturday morning where they belong. And there will be no money spent in my house on Giants merchandise until that happens. And I know I'm just one person, but I hope there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions more, just like me. It's a joke. I'm a fan of this organization for what they used to represent. And this is just insane. You're going to get no evaluation off of these two quarterbacks for the rest of the game. And if nothing else, I can understand you're sitting where you're at and maybe you decide I'm going to go in a different direction in the offseason. New coach, new GM, new quarterback. I can get that. But to say that Eli Manning hasn't earned the right to go out on his shield for what he's done and the class that he's shown for this organization is just absolutely disgusting. And I hope, one little thing that I read into the comments the other day was, a few weeks ago, Ben McAdoo's job was safe until the end of the season, and then everything would be evaluated after that. As of 2 days ago, there's no guarantees in life. I think that he botched this thing. I really think that Mara may have been thinking, hey, you know what I mean, if we got the lead and it looks like the game is winnable, we stay with Eli. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, that's just speculation and me reading into that. But it breaks my heart, man. And I've been trying to get in for the last 2 or 3 days because this is the last interaction I'm having with the Giants until they fix this. I hope you guys have a great day.
You too, Chris. Thanks for calling. And we appreciate your fan.
And listen,
absolutely.
I get it. I know where you can find them, but they're there. I mean, a lot of people, you really need to go and listen to John Mara's press conference or transcripts from when he was with the media.
And it is on Giants.com, by the way. In fact, I will retweet that right now. If you want to go to my Twitter feed, I'll put that up there for everybody to take a look at.
Because I don't want to have people speculating on what he did or didn't say. Just go listen to it for yourself, okay?
Yeah, read it. You can't listen to it.
You need to read it, okay? And if you can find it somewhere through, one of the reporters that were there, listening to it gives you a little bit more of, in my mind, can understand it. That what he said and then what has happened is a little bit puzzling in a sense. So just do yourself a favor and go check it out. And John is retweeting it right now. So
it's up there. So
there
go
it
to
is.
My Twitter feed
How'd
is there
that
if you want
picture
to take a look
so
at
quick?
It. Well, I just retweeted Dan Salamone.
Oh. I'm like, dude, you are like fast.
I'm not that good. I'm good, not that good. 201-939-4513. There we go. My computer froze for a moment. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, buddy? I heard you had a little bit of an emotional call the other day. Are you doing better?
Yeah, I'm working my way through it. Can't wait for a game on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, we need some football.
And by the way, a lot of people don't understand. There is a game Sunday. We haven't talked much about it.
I think we all win. We all need it. I hope we win it. I hope Geno does well. Actually, I'd like to see Geno get two starts. I mean, I – You know, he's the backup quarterback. Give him two starts.
Len, but you know
what? This mess that
Len,
you're going through.
That means you're going to be starting.
You know, give the guy a chance. Put some film out there, earn a job next year. If not with us, somewhere else in the, NFL.
Len, I hear you. The problem, though, that means Davis Webb is starting the first game of his career against the Philadelphia Eagles pass rush, and that scares the heebie-jeebies out of me.
Yeah. Hey, let me say one thing, wow. John. One of your opening comments. Your first reaction to hearing of Eli running the scout team, mine was similar. I got sick. Eli Manning running the scout team, when I first heard that, it was like a punch in the gut. I know that term has been used over and over again here this week. It's been a public relations disaster, just a mess. By the way, Jeff, good recommendation to go read the transcript of the Mara presser. I said this yesterday. I think he did okay. He had to get out there. He had to say that. He had to get beat up a little bit. It's just a tough situation. We're never going to know what who said what. And the only thing I'm really, I hate to say this, the only thing I'm absolutely sure of, it's going to take a while to get over there. I've never seen anything like this. Maybe the fumble in 78, when Zonka fumbled, the guy picked it up, ran it into the end zone, the guy from the Eagles. Maybe there was that, an emotional response by the fans.
Yeah, but I remember this, Len, back then you didn't have what you have now.
You don't have everything. What you have now. And this is just amazing all over the country. MSNBC, CNN, the news guy. Not even sports stations are carrying stories on this fiasco. Holy
but
cow.
But even for more reason why you have to do it the right way. And you have to, it's all, as my dad always used to say to me, Jeff, it's all in the delivery, okay? You can say something to somebody, all right, whether you like them or not, but it's all in the delivery. And, that's a big thing. And nowadays, if it's not delivered, whatever information it is, it's going to get taken out of context and it's just going to run rabbit. So you have to be careful.
Yep. Here's the only thing I'm sure of, and then I'd like to talk about the game on Sunday.
Sure.
Here's the only thing I'm sure of. I hate to say this, but both Eli and Coach Ben are not coming back. Maybe they're both going to be gone. Maybe one is coming back and the other isn't. I'm not going to guess who that is. I just can't see it. I can't see any way, any avenue, any path to both of them coming back in 2018. I just don't see it.
All right, get to the game, Len.
Okay.
nice.
No, this is good. Here's the good news on Khalil Mack, John, and I think you know. Once I start on this, I think you'll know where I'm coming from. We only have to see Khalil Mack Sunday. We got to face DeMarcus Lawrence and Ryan Kerrigan again at least 8 times, maybe 9 times, before we see Khalil Mack again.
Yeah, but Len, did you know that Bruce Irvin has more sacks than Khalil Mack? So you got to deal with two pretty good pass rushers.
There you go. Well,
tomorrow.
You can make the same story for Irvin.
That's true.
This is going to be nice. We're going to start to, the audition starts. We're going to start to get an idea what guys can do playing against the better players. But what I'm really looking for is those 3 division games. I want to see these guys. How do we match up in the division? I know not very well right now. But,
Len, I'll tell you.
As we do this audition, how do we compete in this division?
Yeah, Len, I'll tell you,
we're going to play those guys 8-9 times before we see the Khalil Macks of the world.
Yeah, Len, I'll tell you, watching the game last night, too, between the Cowboys and the Redskins, boy, that Cowboys pass rush was all over Kirk Cousins that whole game. So you're right.
Goodness,
it isn't going to get any easier Sunday from now. When you got to deal with Bruce
and the
Irving
Washington
and,
Redskins offensive line is alleviated too.
I hope we win. I hope we string some games out. I'd like to win some games into the division. I applaud the previous caller. A lot of passion there and a lot of, it's what a lot of people are feeling. I'm not watching another game, that kind of thing. Here's my boycott, guys. This is as far as I can get with it. I'm not watching the first series. In all deference, this is for Eli.
Now, Len, is it? Is
I'm
it,
not
it,
watching. I'm not. And I hope we score, John.
Well, now,
I
Len, here's my question: Is it the first series, regardless of who has the ball, or are you just
no,
watch the
no,
Giants'
well,
first offensive
series.
Series? Okay, I got it.
First series, the Giants have the ball.
Are you going to listen?
I'm not watching.
Are you going to listen to it?
But
though?
That's hey, listen. That's me. It's personal.
Sure.
I applaud what the previous caller is doing. I got to do something.
Nah, I hear you,
man. I mean, it's been just so badly handled. And, John Mara's got, I mean, he's got a job to do now. I mean, this is, billboards, all over the country, people talking about us. I mean, it's a damaged brand. And there isn't enough PR strategy, damage control strategy in the world to cure this in a couple of days.
No.
Thank you, Len. We got to run, pal. Appreciate it, my friend.
No.
Thanks for the call.
And there's 5 games left in the season, including one against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, which, John, we haven't talked much about. I know we have some callers, too. But
And the calls keep filling up, by the way. So that's why I want to try to make sure I get to as many people as I can.
Sure. Go ahead.
But, at the end of the show, once we take the calls, we'll do 2 minutes on the game. We'll make sure we
a little
get
bit.
I think
I think you need to talk a little bit
Absolutely.
About the game because there's a lot of storylines behind this game. I think that from both sides.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Oh. Hallelujah.
Losing his.
There he is, Mr. Charles and Chuckles.
Right. Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And I made sure Charlie and Paul and Maine called up today because I talked to him on Monday. And I said, Charlie, you need to call up and we need to get this lobster situation resolved.
And he has been diligent in contacting me.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
So he's not ducking
me. I'm good. Jeff and I are good. He knows whenever he needs them, he'll let me know.
Now, here's the thing. Jeff is going to have you deliver those after the season's over so he doesn't have to share them with me and Lance. That's the thing.
That's a good idea.
No, and Charlie, what did I tell you? I said I want them delivered on a Friday or a day that I'm going to be on the show because we are going to open them right here.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are. I would not do anything other. Absolutely.
Jeff, what you should do is you should have the cafeteria cook them for you so then you guys can split them up and take them home. That would probably – because remember, they're going to be live.
I know.
You know what?
Angela
will do that for you too if you ask him.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm
well,
sure
here's
he
what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do,
by the
Charlie.
Way, folks, I want to give some background for the listeners. And we'll make this quick because I know you guys want to talk about Eli. But at the beginning of the year, Charlie made a bet with Jeff that Anthony Doble would make the Falcons 53. I don't think he made it past the first cut. So that's why Charlie –
he was the last cut.
Oh, yeah, please. That's why Charlie's sending Jeff a bunch of lobsters.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is I am going to have them shipped here. We are going to open because – this will be one of those days where we have the three-people panel.
Okay.
Okay, and Meadow will sit in the middle of us because I feel like Meadow will probably be the scariest – person of a
the
lobster.
Problem is if you put a crate of lobsters, you won't be able to see his head. He's
well, we'll
too
put
short.
Him, we'll put him up
put
top.
On some full books.
But we're going to open them, and then we'll go into the cafeteria, and they can cook them from there.
Because
I want to see – I want to have the live
– That sounds good.
With the rubber bands around.
Okay.
You know?
That makes sense.
So,
all right, Charlie, what's your point on Eli? What do you got for me?
That's if I send the rubber bands with him.
You better put the rubber bands on those things.
what can I say? I said it in spring. I said it this summer that this was going to be Eli's last year with the Giants, and because I knew they wouldn't want to pay him, and they totally disrespected him. They never got him an offensive line, and there's no way Eli is coming back for another year to be a placeholder for the next guy to come in after 6 or 8 games and have him pulled out again. He's going to go to Jacksonville. Or somewhere like that.
Well, Charlie, honestly,
I
don't
think he can get a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal, and they know that he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, but Charlie, I don't think there's any guarantee. Like, let's say, for example, let's say they do draft a quarterback and Eli comes back next year, and the Giants after 7 games are 5-2. I don't think you're going to see Eli get taken out. I think they'll just let whoever they drafted sit the whole year, to be honest with you.
No, but I think what Charlie was thinking the other way. What if they all of a sudden start 2-7?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Charlie. If they start really poorly and they decide to go to a different guy, then you trade him. And trust me, you'll find a team to take him midseason.
Right.
Well, they did it to Bradford. Remember Bradford?
Yeah,
they needed it
absolutely.
When Bridgewater went down. So you never know. Oh, well, Charlie.
Are we drafting
a quarterback or a lineman in the first round? Do you want to even go there?
I mean, I hate to say this, but this is the way I feel. I can't call the show again until Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese are fired, because they deserve to be fired. And when they're fired, I will call back.
Carly,
but until then,
come on.
I can't.
We're gonna have to. Will you make an exception to the rule here? When we have my lobster day, I'll call.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
Can we get Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo signed in perpetuity? We'll never have to talk to him again.
Yeah, you have to erase the reply.
Thing. Charlie, we love you. We love you. We love you. Let's go to Amari down in Atlanta. Amari, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Amari.
Happy that Len called in today. After hearing him get emotional on the call a couple days ago,
I agree.
It just made things much worse for already, like, crappy week. I called in after, like, week five asking about, when you guys thought we'd see a quarterback change. And, my God, I don't think I ever would have expected it to go this bad. I seeing Eli in that interview just tear up. Like, that was – or almost tear up. Like, it's just been – I'm sure, as like all the callers have been saying throughout the week, it's just been really unimaginable. But I just had one quick question. The media is obviously latching on to whatever they can. And I saw a post or tweet yesterday talking about Eli considering waiving his no trade clause. And I just wanted to see if you guys had any info on that. Is there actually a no trades clause, and like how possible is that? Because
Amari, I did not see the report, so I can't speak to it. I don't know anything about that. Eli can waive the no trade clause whenever he wants. That's completely up to him. Other than that, I don't really have much for you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we don't get that much information.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I know Eli's still got, like, good years of football, and, you know, like, a team like Jacksonville, like, they need a quarterback, and they've got, like, a crazy defense that, like, could –
Listen, there's
I,
a lot –
I don't know.
Amari, there's a lot – you know, everybody keeps mentioning Jacksonville. There's a lot of teams that need, you know, quarterbacks like an Eli Manning. I mean, you could just go down and look at Arizona. I mean, Arizona's a team that could use a quarterback.
Denver's
another one, okay? And just ironically, it would be, you know, if that's the case,
but
I think that, you know, what is the factor there is that you want to, if this was to ever happen, you want a quarterback like Eli Manning to go to a team that has a good defense. You know, this really is not going to be a guy that's going to be relied upon to, you know, go out there and throw for 6,000 yards in a season. You know,
and
what
a
mean?
Good running game.
And a good running game. So,
line.
You know, something that Eli will complement the team that's already there.
Right.
Not the fact that you're going to build around somebody like a 38-year-old quarterback.
Which is why I think people have brought Jacksonville up, because they have that ground running game, use them in play action, got a good defense.
And I think, you know, the one with – yeah, I mean, Coughlin's a big influence down there, but, you know, he's not coaching the team, but he's I'm sure he has a lot of influence. But, you know, the development of Blake Bortles this year, you know, he's played so up and down like he has his whole career. You know, you don't know where they're going to go with that. So and nothing is to be – we're not going to know until all this is ironed out after the season is over. And really, you know, everybody understands that there's going to be a lot of things – to be ironed out after the season is over, when you have a roster the way you are right now and a dysfunctional team that can't, you know, has only won two games when you were supposed to compete to the Super Bowl.
Yep. Well, that's all I got, guys.
Well, Amari, thank you for calling in as usual.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Amari.
It.
Good to hear from you.
Yep.
And I'm sure the answer we gave to you when you called in week five about a quarterback change, none of us suggested what just happened. So I'm sure
well,
none of us predicted that.
If any of us did, then we would probably have a job somewhere else if we were, like,
absolutely.
Just doing that.
Soothsaying. Let's go to John in New York. He's up next. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Yes, John. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering how Mr. Mayor would feel about the $200 million he spent 2 years ago. As those guys are getting older, and they didn't really solidify anything for Eli, because I thought going into the year, it was all out for Eli, because he only had like 3 years left.
Well, remember, all that money was spent on the defensive side of the ball, not the offensive side of the ball, John.
Correct. And then when the draft went on, I like everybody in the draft. But really, they never did do anything to help Eli, except for they got the tight end, which
well,
I approve.
Well, John, but, well, I mean, in the last three years, for the last 4 years, they used a first-round pick on Justin Pugh, a first-round pick on Eric Flowers, a second-round pick on Weston Richburg, a second-round pick on Sterling Shepard, a first-round pick on Evan Engram, and they have Odell Beckham Jr. So they tried to give Eli the help he needed. It maybe hasn't worked out quite the way they would have hoped.
Yeah. No, it didn't work out. Right. So why didn't they try again?
Well, I mean, you can't keep drafting
like
the same guys
kid.
At the same positions. You eventually have to hope the guys you drafted are able to develop into the players you projected them to be.
I understand that, but it doesn't seem like they really tried hard enough. I mean, when they took Webb in the third round, you would think they would at least try to get a guard or some kind of tackle for a backup.
Well, I can tell you the way that the Giants have drafted, and we know this for a fact.
Thanks for the call, John. We appreciate it.
You
got a little echo in the background.
They've told us that that anybody that they had evaluated in last year's draft when it comes to offensive linemen, they didn't feel like they were worthy of a third-round draft pick. And at this instance, I believe you'll agree with me, John, is that the Giants saw Davis Webb there as they're on their board saying, we got to take this guy.
Well, and I think – yeah, I mean, I think now people who are confused by the pick, too, now maybe it makes more sense. 201-939-4513. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Aaron in New Jersey is up next. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're doing well, Aaron. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I just wanted to put my input on Eli.
Sure.
I was 4 years old when he was drafted, so he's basically one of the first favorite athletes I ever had. So as a fan, I just saw Reese's and McAdoo's decision as taking his streak away because it showed his commitment. And I think if he does get traded next year, I think it'll be really hard for the fans to just accept it because I would like to look at next year's team as like a revamp. I think there needs to be changes made on the O-line. And, because we'll have Beckham back and we'll have Shepard. So I think if Eli doesn't come back, it's going to be hard for the fans to accept. And because of his, the benching decision, I think it's just not a good setup for Webb to have his first start against the Eagles. Because
very good.
Because first of all, it would be intimidating, obviously, because of the rival with them. But now they're projected to be in the Super Bowl. So it's just, I don't know, not a good setup for him.
Yeah, it's tough.
That'd be a tough game.
And personally, I miss Justin Tuck and Cruz, and I think everyone just needs to, realize that that's not the team anymore, and we do have Pierre Paul, and I just think he's doing very well, but there needs to be changes definitely on the O-line.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate
the
call.
Thank you for calling in, Aaron.
Good stuff.
And it's always, every year is different, John, and at the end of this year, it's going to be very different because, you're talking about a guy that's been in the organization forever and a guy that even Aaron had grown up with. My kids actually, they texted me when this all went down and they were my oldest son and my second oldest son, they were just, Dad, this is really weird the way we're feeling.
Well, they probably don't remember the Giants without Eli Manning.
They do
right?
not remember the
no.
Giants. And the fact is that, because I was a teammate of Eli Manning's for so long, my kids actually got to know Eli. So it was kind of like a very personal thing for them.
Folks, for you guys though, Dome, most down-to-earth superstar you'll ever meet in your life. He is literally a regular dude.
Yeah, there's no question. And it was a little bit, so I kind of commiserate with the rest of the fan base when someone like Aaron, who basically is 18 years old, 18, 19, she's grown up with Eli, and it's very difficult for them to handle this thing. But
it's like Derek Jeter. It's like with Jeter retiring from the Yankees.
But
the
one
thing
everybody has to understand, and this and just don't take this with the wrong way, but everybody's career comes to an end at a certain time.
And a lot of times for players of that caliber, it doesn't happen easily.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Whether it happened this way or at the end of the season, the Giants to say, we're done and we're moving on. It probably would have maybe it's still going to have the reaction like, well, how? But there would probably been a little bit more of an understanding at that point in time.
All right. Final call. Mark in Chicago. Mark, wrap us up, my friend. Good to hear from you.
Mark in Chi-Town. Hey. What's up?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I'm heading down to Punta Cana on Saturday, so I'm glad I got in today.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have fun.
So anyway, I'll ask a non-Eli question first.
Okay.
I just wanted to get your opinion of Red Ellison. He signed a big $18 million contract. He was supposed to be the super-duper blocking tight end. And I don't grade film the way you guys do. And quite frankly, going back and looking at coaches' tape is pretty putrid this year. So, but I'm not impressed. I don't see him being a great blocker. I've seen him do some good chipping with defensive ends and linebackers and defensive backs. I see Ingram making more of an effort to block than this guy.
I
was just curious what your opinion is.
Yeah, Mark, I'll be real quick, and then I'll let Jeff go. I disagree with that. I think Red Ellison is a much better run blocker than Evan Ingram is. I think he sustains his drop blocks and drives a lot better than Ingram does. I thought Ellison would be more involved in the passing game, to be honest with you. I've been kind of surprised by that.
After the preseason, we thought he was going to.
Yeah.
Remember, he was catching some passes. Mm-hmm. I think that you know, you have to be careful of how your eyes watch a football game. You always, your eyes go to an Ingram
ball.
Who's going to the ball. So a lot of times away from the ball, you don't see a lot of things that are happening unless you do study it. And in your case, you said, you know, you looked at the coach's tape and things like that. But, you know, to give him a grade, I don't grade that. Dottino does. We should ask Dottino. He has a grade.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, my point is that, you know, there's a way to grade them, and a lot of times we're baffled by some of the grades that the coaches give these players if they do so. That, you know, hey, graded out great in the game, and you're sitting there going, what? How did he? What? You know, so it's
very subjective.
Yeah,
yes.
Very subjective. That's the word I was looking for. So
yeah, and I'm not saying he was a better blocker or Ingram's a better blocker. I said I just see Ingram making a better effort to block.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I think for the amount of money that they paid him, I would expect to see him standing out on tape a little bit more than he has. And I just want to make one comment about Eli.
Sure.
You know, in all the conversation we're talking about, and a lot of people have said the things I'm going to wanted to say, but I'll let it down. In all the evaluation talk, you listen to today's show, yesterday's show, nowhere in there does anyone really say, we really need to evaluate Geno Smith. We know what Geno Smith is. And he's a free agent. To me, if Eli was going to be our quarterback next year, I see two scenarios. It's Eli and Webb as a backup, like they did with Ryan Nassib, or you have Eli, Webb, and a quarterback to be drafted. So to me, the facade that Ben McAdoo put down there, that we need to take Eli out to play Geno Smith, is ridiculous. I can't help but think there's something else going on here that we don't know about, because there's no reason to evaluate Geno Smith. We should be evaluating Webb if we're going to evaluate anybody, and if not, you just leave Eli in there, because he's not the reason this team is 2-9. Now, I'll say one last thing, and you can comment about this, and I'll hang up the lesson. I question what they really think of Davis Webb, and why I say this is they drafted this guy without working him out. They never even, I think, really talked to this guy before they drafted him. If I remember right, Davis Webb was totally shocked that he got drafted by the Giants because he never had a conversation with them. And I'm just thinking, is maybe there's some buyer's remorse out there with the Giants, and maybe that's why we're not seeing him.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call. That's why.
No, I don't think that's raw at all. And one of the reasons you're not seeing him is because of what I said earlier in the program, is he's been playing scout team quarterback for the whole season. He hasn't taken any first-team reps whatsoever. So, you know, when this situation comes down with Eli and you want him to evaluate, perhaps that maybe he should have been taking some first-team reps in the last few weeks if you knew you were going to do this. So that's just, you know, that's where it is. But really, Geno Smith is starting because he knows the offense and he's been playing the offense. Davis Webb has not.
All right, Jeff, I promise you a minute to talk about the game on Sunday before we say goodbye. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say that, you know, I think this is a, you know, the glass is half full with me right now.
Full of water.
The Raiders are not playing very well. They're out. They're out their two best wide receivers.
Correct.
Okay, and their defense is putrid. Okay, I mean they have a couple good guys, but
they're ranked 20. By the way, they're ranked better than the Chiefs and the Redskins were the last 2 weeks.
Well, maybe that'll help.
Just say that.
But I just think that, you know, if they go down there and you know, it's going to be interesting how this team can play with all this distractions that went on this week. You're not giving them a chance at all in that sense. But you never know. It's just there's things happen in the National Football League that are so crazy. Getting away on the road and getting away from all this stuff could be a good thing. But, you know, who knows? But that's a big thing for those two guys to be out of the lineup.
I'll give you one stat on the Crabtree-Cooper thing before we say goodbye. Without Crabtree and Cooper in the game last week in the second half against the Broncos, Derek Carr, 10 of 12, 171 yards, one touchdown, no picks.
It's a little bit like
just saying.
I know. You know what that is? That's the old wide receiver, diva thing. Oh, I need the ball. No, I need the ball. Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
And by the way, no Janoris Jenkins either. So the Giants have to figure out what to do with Eli Apple this week. The indications seem to be he's going to be active, but we'll see what his role is.
But if you want to, know more about the game, just tune into our pregame show.
It'll be on at 2:10 on WFN in New York. Make sure you check it out. It'll be me, Feagles, Meadow, and Dottino bringing you up until kickoff at 4:25 Eastern. For Jeff Feagles, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you on Sunday, everybody.
Have a good one.
Enjoy your weekend.